Welcome to Trending in Education. This is Mike Palmer. I am back from a wonderful trip out to San Diego for ASU-GSV. This is one of the high points of my trip. While I was out there, I was able to sit down with Joel Podolny, who's got a really interesting background, having helped Steve Jobs found Apple University, served as the dean there up until 2021 when he founded Honor Education. I found his perspective on culture and human engagement, building a mobile-first, human-centered platform in this time where AI is all the buzz, to be a refreshing counterpoint. Hope you enjoy the conversation. We'll pick up with me and Joel kicking it early in the sun down in San Diego. We hope you enjoy. This is Mike Palmer. I'm here with Joel Podolny, who's the CEO of Honor Education. We're at ASU-GSV. We're out in a lovely, what is this, Joel? This is like a courtyard.
Yeah, courtyard behind the hotel. Like, literally not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
It would be a nicer day.
Yeah, and for those of you who just listen, you may not know I'm a ginger, so I'm trying to keep my SPF well situated. Joel, we always start by getting to know our guests a little bit. Can you catch our listeners up on who you are and how you got to this point in your professional life?
Yeah, I started my career as an academic. I thought I was going to be an academic my whole life. I began teaching at the Stanford Business School in organizational behavior and strategy, became senior associate dean there. Then I went to Harvard, where I was professor of sociology and business. Sociology is what my PhD is in.
Interesting.
And then became dean of the Yale School of Management. And that was when Steve Jobs recruited me to start Apple University at Apple, which was focused very much on leadership and culture. In fact, we kind of thought of ourselves as the stewards of the culture of the company.
Yeah, and that's got to be amazing on a number of fronts.
It was an unbelievable learning experience for me. I learned a ton. It's obviously one of the great run companies on the planet.
Right.
And while I went there to teach about leadership and culture, I got to learn a ton.
Yeah, and also the intersection between sociology and business.
Yeah.
That's an interesting intersection as well.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the human component, the social component, the cultural component is oftentimes what can get lost. And so having a sociological perspective helps keep those things front and center.
Yeah. You know, I use the old saw, culture eats strategy for lunch. You've kind of lived that story to some extent.
And I've seen it. I think there are a lot of amazing things about Apple, but for me, one of the most amazing was how front and center they keep their culture. And I think that shows for everybody from those who use their product to those who work there to those who've had the opportunity to lead there.
Yeah. And we'll get into AI in a bit, but like it does make me think as well, like the pure AI plays that are not conscious of the cultures and the systems that they're integrated with are kind of destined to maybe land in the dust heap of the hype cycle here.
You are preaching to the choir.
that's good. And then how about Honor? Like you've been there for a little while here and you came in a pretty tumultuous period.
Yeah, I came in, I founded the company and am CEO and started it in May of 21. Mm-hmm. The origin of it very much came out of what we all were experiencing during COVID. In every role I have had prior to my current one, been a teacher and a case teacher in particular. Mm-hmm. So for me, transformational learning is getting people different backgrounds, different experiences in a room.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And
Right. Somebody
who's compelling in person, they can be compelling on Zoom or WebEx or whatever,
Right. But
they can't be compelling for nearly the length of time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the solution is at some level obvious, which is there a way to create great collective asynchronous engagement around learning, because that would put less pressure on those moments in the class.
And it's more scalable and accessible.
Right. But it was just clear that there was a need in the market for a platform that put, you know, human connection at the center of online or digitally enhanced learning.
Yeah. And the focus is higher ed.
And corporate and professional organizations that there are so many of them that oftentimes have content for their members. We make it really easy for course creators, instructional designers, subject matter experts to spin up beautiful courses.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of content, but oftentimes it's been hard for them to put it in a format that is sort of beautifully presented, well received. So it's really those three segments.
Got it. And then it's ultimately delivered to a combination of higher ed students and then also in the workplace.
And also employees in the workplace. Yes.
Got it. And then broad cross-section of offerings. Are there any areas of content that you specialize in or you focus on?
One of the things that we've been most proud of in a way that we hope harkens to our sort of Apple heritage is to build a platform sufficiently fundamental that it works in all learning environments.
Yeah.
That's part of our mission.
Yeah.
That's part of who we are. And if you look across the over 200 courses that are on the platform, and we've only been out there for a year, it is really evenly distributed. Humanities, hard sciences, social sciences, engineering, computer science, the full range.
Yeah. And higher ed is in a tricky wicket, I guess. I'm trying to figure out the right word for it. But there was a cliff that was far away, and then COVID hit, and now it's 2024.
Right.
And we'll throw a little AI in the mix just to add to the complexity. But how would you characterize where higher ed is right now in the spring of 2024?
So even, I mean, as you rightly point out, even when we started the company, in fact, a big motivation for starting the company was all the silent suffering and some not so silent suffering that was out in higher education.
Yeah.
As you know, well, you know, only 60% graduating, you know, of those who don't graduate, 3/4 dropping out in the first year, 38, 39 million with some degree. So there's like a lot of evidence that people are being, you know, left to the side. And what I think now when we get to 24, that it's not working has become even more accentuated with a almost distrust. I think that's a fair word that higher ed is not delivering on its role in what it needs to be doing for, you know, a vibrant, productive economy and society.
Yeah.
And we believe that a fundamental part of that is that the importance of human connection in the learning process is being too often forgotten.
Yeah.
That in the desire to scale learning, people forget that connection is what's motivating. So creating a platform where students feel seen, heard, supported by their instructor, by other students, even outside of the live class session.
Yeah.
That we felt if we could make that front and center, we could start to really, you know, chip away at that problem.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little more in terms of the features. But before we do that, the other element that is out there is when you talk about higher ed, it's a pretty broad universe that we're talking about. And, you know, to your credit, you have some of the most selective universities in your background. Yeah. But a lot of the real crisis in higher ed is more at the community college level, at the some college, no degree. Mm-hmm. level. How do you see those two universes, and you know, what role do you think Honor can play to maybe open up some of what has been more scarce for the folks at the bottom of the pyramid?
So I think about it as, you know, collective engagement at scale is in some ways the holy grail for everybody.
If
you can deliver on that. For the more elite institutions that are more well-funded, it's an opportunity for impact and to address some of that skepticism or disappointment with higher education. For the community colleges, for regional, some of the less well-funded state colleges, it's existential.
Yeah.
And that's why we've decided to lean into that and trying to deliver on that holy grail, because we think it can make a difference on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I realize I'm talking to a management, business leader, sociologist. There are different factors that would drive the ways in which both ends of the spectrum might drive this next wave of innovation, where the innovative, you know, well-funded, well-researched, well-resourced universities can really be the leading edge of a lot of the innovation. But then the actual impact and the forcing function of the crisis that we're in is going to really require the bottom end, like the folks who are reaching the first generation students and folks who really are struggling with the promise of higher education. So that'll be an interesting thing for us to keep an eye on. And then you're talking about a lot of these emotional, motivational components. How do you bake that in to the product? Can you describe how the experience is for a learner and how they get that sense of community and connection through the product?
Yeah. So there are a number of features that we've built in, and I'll try to do this quickly. Platform has, you know, two components, what we call Honor Create, which is an application for the spinning up of courses.
Yeah. And it's that teacher, subject matter expert, instructional designer.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And to make it incredibly easy for them to do that. And then there's Honor Learn, which is a mobile first. It's not mobile only, but mobile first learning application. And that means not just native iOS and native Android, but it's got a user interface that is designed assuming small screen portrait, as you know, most education technology.
TikTok you.
Right. And so, and by the way, that's part of drawing people in is giving them a great learning experience on the device in which they feel most comfortable and most empowered.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one aspect is mobile first. Now, if you're going to get a mobile first design, what you need is then a way for people to quickly annotate or react to the content in a way that is seen by others.
Okay. And so it's social learning.
It's social learning. And so if you and I are in the same course, we make it so you can sort of quickly react and I can get a sense of your reactions.
Right.
And if, for example, both
my nonverbals are going off the charts right now for those of you who are listening.
And if both you and I, for example, would identify something as unclear, we've got real high fidelity data analytics that go right to the instructor. So they could come in, add like a audio annotation. Maybe we're unclear on a formula. They could talk it over and you and I would then get notification that, you know, instructor's gone in, added a note,
click
on a deep link. And all of a sudden, the kind of conversation that we really only associate with being in class together, where you and I are like, I don't understand this. And the instructor says, let me tell you, we can deliver on that asynchronously.
I see.
And we can deliver on it in a way in which you and I can learn in 15, 30 minute bursts. I mean, we find students on our platform, you know, over half of them are returning multiple times a day,
right?
Which is exactly what you would hope a mobile learning experience could drive.
Yeah, yeah. It's the whole micro learning, you know, basically your higher ed in your pocket kind of situation.
With no sacrifice on the depth of the course.
Yeah.
That's,
and also the engagement
important.
Too, because it is interesting when you call it asynchronous, you know, it's like some of my most intimate connections now are through WhatsApp group texts, you know, and it's like, it's asynchronous technically, but it really feels real time. And I think a lot of these formats, even like the language probably needs to evolve a little bit, but it sounds like you're doing a lot of thinking about how do you get it to feel like I'm seen, like I'm understood. And when maybe I'm not keeping up, you know, getting back to the, you know, the front of the bell curve versus the other end, you know, like when I feel like maybe I'm falling behind, maybe I'm going to drop out, I can actually be pulled back in and caught back up.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, one of the findings, as I'm sure you know, is one of the major predictors of somebody dropping out is they stop connecting in.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, that seems kind of obvious. On the other hand, it does then point us in the direction of what can you do to give people a reason to connect in?
Yeah.
And, oh, I'm provided access to what's going on with others in the class. When they mark something as important or interesting, maybe I didn't know or I didn't really understand, you know, why that was. But now that they've marked it that way, I get it.
Right.
And so all of a sudden you're brought back in.
That makes sense. I wouldn't go to a coffee shop or a restaurant without checking how other people reviewed it. But my content is all treated as exactly the same. It is interesting to start to like feed off the wisdom of the crowds, I guess, to kind of get where you need to go.
Right. And now I know I can use you as a reliable indicator where I go for coffee.
Hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. There's plenty of options around here. And then good job by us. We've made it 15 minutes in. We haven't actually directly addressed AI. But it is 2024.
High five.
Exactly. We both checked out the Air Show nearby, which is a related activity here around AI activity and learning, AI activity and education. You're a relatively recent startup in education, app-based, phone-based, and AI is starting to permeate everything. you know, it is a general purpose technology. So it's not necessarily, you know, an AI feature or an AI thing is the one single aspect of what you're delivering. But I do imagine some supercharging. I've also heard a lot of, you know, teacher co-pilots and ways to kind of help the instructional designer, the curriculum designer. Truth be told, early in my career, I was an instructional designer. Those e-learning roots run deep. I've called generative AI, it's like a floor raising
right
technology where now, rather than me having to sweat over creating these images or the blank page problem, brainstorming, those use cases are now really supercharged, I think, with the advent of AI. How are you thinking about it, both specifically to Honor, but then even more broadly with your experience? I'd be curious how you kind of frame up the problem space and then the opportunities around AI.
Yeah. So I'm a big believer in both sides that you pointed to, right? Both how it can help the learner, but also how it can help and turbocharge the instruction. So already we found on our platform, for example, a real high level of efficiency around the tool in terms of just how little time an instructor needs to have on the platform in order for it to be effective. So our highest performing courses on the platform, the instructor spent about 40 minutes per week in the tool. The lowest performing 20. So there's not a huge delta there,
right? 40 minutes is not a lot.
40 minutes is not a lot. And we've worked hard for that.
Yeah.
But what AI can do is you could even bring down that 40 by having smart suggestions for the instructor on given how the students engage, here's a recommendation for something that you would like to add.
Yeah.
So even when the class is going on in real time,
there
are ways it can add above and beyond what you, of course, pointed to, which is help me with the terror of the blank page.
Right,
I've got a whole quarter to fill on biology.
Right.
What do I do?
Or I have 5 minutes to put in instead of 40.
Exactly. So that's one big piece. On the learner side, you know, I always come back to our focus is on human connection. And my one big worry with AI is the same way with the MOOCs, people forgot about the importance of human connection.
Shout out to 2012. Come on.
Right? I'm a little worried that we're thinking interactive with AI means human connection.
Mm-hmm.
So one simple example, you could have AI, you know, give me, you know, sort of a feedback to my evaluation of a paragraph or a text.
Yeah.
Or you could have it give me feedback on how I'm communicating my view on the text with other students in the class.
Right.
Saying, Joel, you know, a better way to say what you just said, or a better way to persuade those who disagree with you would be the following.
Yeah.
And we think that's a real opportunity to drive the support in service of that collective engagement.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. The other real challenge, maybe building on the distrust you were talking about, is the motivation problem that I think is going to be compounded by AI, and at least the perception of it. Like if you already feel alienated from higher ed, maybe some college, no degree, you don't trust that institution. Now this technology is coming in, you feel like your job is at risk. There is a challenge out there where I think some folks who just might give up. And then addressing the motivational challenge, the other piece that is interesting in your product design is the power of peer-to-peer and the idea that I'm not alone in this and that there are other people similar to me who are navigating this. Are there opportunities to kind of tap into that kind of the idea of like a learning network or like a near peer who's maybe a little bit further along the line? Because the other thing I found, I've even heard it about AI, is that like we will learn more and uncover more ourselves as we're training the bots. And I imagine there's going to be more desire to connect with and help each other, help other humans, help other students along the way.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, what you're pointing towards, which is a wonderful thing to be pointing towards, is instead of AI just giving me advice on how I can either communicate better or how AI can help me, it can give me advice on how I could help others.
Yeah. Like you could have a coffee with Joel on a sunny morning in San Diego, Mike, and that will help you learn.
Right. Or AI would say to you, Mike, you know, given the way you think about it, it would be great for Joel to hear from you.
Yes. Like the matchmaking.
Exactly.
Of humans. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting stuff. We're kicking it here. It's Mike Palmer here with Joel Podolny. We're having a fun conversation out here in the sun in San Diego. I know you just got here, and I think this is your first ASU JSV, how are you keeping on top of things? I was recently exposed to the work of Alvin Toffler, I think his name was, Future Shock, back in the 70s, which was when, back then, the world was changing too fast, people were freaking out.
Right.
The rate of change is accelerating at such a pace that I think a lot of people are feeling overwhelmed. How do you manage that? How do you kind of filter the information, and any tips or suggestions for folks to kind of get the energy and the motivation to continue to come back to these problems?
Yeah. So it's a great question. And so now you're asking me to actually articulate something that
I'm a brilliant editor, so you don't have to use it.
So one of the things I've learned over time is take a lot in, as much in as you can, and then sit with it for a while. And I think this is absolutely an opportunity to take a lot in.
Yeah.
And the worst thing to do would be on the flight back home tomorrow to say, okay, here's the to-dos given what I've learned. It's like, give it a week or two to kind of jump.
Right when the spaced repetition kicks in. Although for me, I'll probably be recording a podcast episode on the flight home if I have my druthers. How about on the horizon? What do you see? What's the vision? You're relatively early in the story of Honor. Like, where do you see it going? What role do you think it plays? What's your vision and roadmap look like? Yeah.
So one of the things that we're most excited about, and we managed the 15 minutes without getting to AI ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I'm now going to make up for that
because
I'll go back.
Good.
So one of the things that we're most excited about is because the platform enables this real high fidelity engagement around the content. In line, knowing exactly where students are reacting or not, is at this point, just a year in, we've got over 30, universities, corporations on the platform. As I mentioned, over 200 courses.
Yeah.
We're finally starting to get to where we've got a volume of data that then that data can start to power the AI suggestions and learning. I mean, what I've said to the team is, we're going to win. Like, we know we will have won when the best advice you could give to a student is you need to get up and take a 15-minute walk.
Uh-huh.
And we can get that data. We can know that somebody is not reading at the pace they should be reading.
Yeah.
Or we can have an idea about what they should have been highlighting, given the level at which they're going through the material that they're not. And if you can leverage that information to then offer them suggestions around how they approach their learning, not just how they understand their content, but approach their learning.
Like a more like behavioral kind of like taking a step outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you've gone even an added level above in terms of addressing the problem that we were talking about, right? Which is this feeling like I don't belong here. This isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden you can address that directly.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot about personal virtual assistants that will all be training up our own version of a chatbot. I've also referred to this as the revenge of Clippy, you know, where like the chatbots are all getting smarter, but we'll start to train them up to kind of tailor to our individual needs. The world's going to be changing. Interestingly, you're already making some bets on, you know, the phone and, you know, the social emotional components. More on the work side, because I mean, you connect into there.
Yeah.
What are your Honor graduates going to be moving into in terms of the world of work? And I imagine since you're partnering on both sides of that equation, you might have some insight into pathways that kind of get built into the product design.
So one of the things that is going on in the corporate world that's very parallel to higher ed is this move away from a clear break in time in order to, you know, focus on learning and nothing else. And then I go back to work. Instead, all corporations are looking for ways to weave the learning.
Learning in the flow of work.
And learning in the flow of work. And we see mobile is really important to that.
Yeah.
We see maintaining connection even when people are not going through the content at the same time or in the same physical place as central to that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all the large corporations that we know of, they're all getting rid of their learning centers. And by the way, I think that's one consequence of the move to more remote work is when people come back and are not remote, the companies want them actually working together in the teams.
Right.
So now you've got to deliver the learning in a way that doesn't require as much physical co-presence, but they still want it to be special.
Yeah.
They still want a feeling that it is true to their culture.
True
to their ways. And that's why we're making the bet on collective engagement, mobile, and corporate. And early signs are there's a lot of enthusiasm for that.
Any thoughts on hybrid,
mm-hmm.
where like it seems like you have a pretty powerful component that could work entirely through the phone, But then if everyone in a business class or in like an entry-level sociology class, if they all have access to something like an honor app,
yeah,
where do you see that? Because I haven't really heard too many folks articulate a vision for how hybrid and some of the transformations we saw through the pandemic might intersect with this new wave of AI and mobile learning.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in hybrid. In fact, if you would ask my ideal, it would be to have, and, you know, pick your percentage, you know, sort of 5%, you know, 3-4% of the learning time still be physically co-present, or at least virtually co-present, in part because I think it enhances the level of like trust and vulnerability.
Also accountability.
And accountability.
Yeah.
That is going to really accentuate the kind of sharing that people would then be able to do, you know, digitally.
Yeah. It's like we're having a more intense conversation because it was on our calendars and we knew that we had to meet. And it's a scarcity is also a driver of focus, motivation, innovation.
Right. And even the fact that you and I could have like an informal chat for just 10 minutes before we started this interview.
Yeah.
I think that changes how we connect. So I'm a big believer in hybrid.
And maybe the bots will start making us better at building rapport, which is something we were also talking about.
Right.
We're about at time here, Joel. Any other topics or ideas you wanted to get out there? And then also we could probably hit you up for your closing thoughts.
You've been really good and thorough.
That's how I roll. Yeah. So any takeaways for our listeners as they head back to the rest of their lives?
The major takeaway, you know, should be, well, we're obviously as, you know, optimistic about the potential for AI as anybody. The real driver of great learning is human connection.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, regardless of whether or not it's tied to honor or not, that people not forget that.
Mm.
In my now 30 plus years in education, I've learned one thing. Mm. It is that power of human connection is so central to creating meaningful learning.
Yeah.
And I would hope that all your listeners would keep that in mind.
Amazing stuff here with Joel Podolny, who's the CEO and founder of Honor Education. Joel, thanks so much for joining me on today's show.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's been a real pleasure.
And for our listeners, hopefully you enjoyed what you heard. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, do all the good things. We'll be back again soon. This is Trending in Education.